Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Lori. I'm one of the pastors here, if we haven't met yet. Happy 4th of July weekend to everyone. Want to also welcome many of our church family are out on vacation in cottages, so glad that you can join us in worship online today as well. And man, I want to just give kudos to the praise team. It was amazing this morning, and praise to God for that. And I loved that first song that we sang, that there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And I don't know about you, but I'm seeing more kids than normal all around me, because normally, we have age-appropriate fun kids programming throughout the school year. And once in a while, we take a break, give the volunteers a weekend to refresh, and we have a family worship day. And I'm telling you what, there is joy in the house of the Lord today, because I leaned over and talked with Emma, and I'm like, look at these kids just dancing, and Josiah's over here drumming, and all the things. So praise God for that. And parents, I just want you to just take a deep breath. Don't have any anxiety over your kids being in the worship service today, because we welcome the wiggles and the giggles and the extra noise. We love kids, and so did Jesus. So does Jesus. And so we're happy for them to be here today. As a matter of fact, I want to invite kids up here with me for a few minutes. So if you're a kid, maybe fifth grade or younger, why don't you come on up front, because I have a treat for you. And I also have a couple questions to ask you. So just kind of come and sit on the floor here around me, and we're going to have a little chat. All right? How's everybody doing today? Good. We'll wait for all of our friends to kind of come on up. Raise your hand if you have seen fireworks already this weekend. Oh, you've heard them, haven't seen them. How many of you have dogs that are maybe a little scared of fireworks? Is your dog afraid? Yeah. What's your dog's name? Harlow. That's a cool name.
And
your dog's name is Lucy. We have Maddie here. All right, sounds like we've got everybody here. And if there's a few shy ones, parents, I know you don't want to necessarily be up here, but you're welcome to be up here with your child, too. How about you look next to someone and give them a fist bump and tell them your name? Someone that you don't know. Your brother doesn't count. Your sister doesn't count. What's your name? Hi, Ellie. Nice to meet you. Hi, Josiah. So, you guys, who can tell me what I have in my bowl? My basket here. Yell it nice and loud so everybody can hear. Skittles, yes, Skittles. I love Skittles. Although I must say, like, if I was given the choice between chocolate and Skittles, I would choose chocolate all day long. But Skittles are a good runner-up for me. You know, Skittles, there's lots of different colors in this bag. My favorite color Skittle is green. Raise your hand if you want to tell me your favorite color Skittle. What's your favorite? Purple is your favorite. How about yours? Red. What's yours? Purple is your favorite. What's your favorite, Ellie? Green. I love it. Okay, so what's your least favorite color? Oh, what's your least favorite? Orange is your least favorite. What's your least favorite? Orange. Well, this seems to have a pattern here. What's your favorite? Least favorite? Red. One more. Least favorite is orange. Wow, there's a consensus here. Your least favorite's red. Thank you. Okay, so my least favorite is purple. As a matter of fact, this bag is mixed, and I want it fixed. What would happen if I went into the store and I grabbed a bag of Skittles from the shelf and I ripped it open and I pulled out all the purple ones, because I don't like the purple ones, and I went up to the cashier and said, I'd like to buy this bag. Instead of the whole bag for a dollar, I picked out the purple ones. Can I buy this bag for 50 cents? Do you think I'd be able to do that?
No.
No, why not? What?
I would have to pay more.
Oh, my goodness. That's not fair. I guess I better just buy the whole bag then. Here's the thing, you guys. This bag is mixed. And if I want the good ones, my favorite ones, I have to take the ones that I don't like too. And in today's Bible story, I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, and Jesus is telling a parable. A parable is a story that's not necessarily true. It's made up, but it has true meaning. And in this story, Jesus is going to be talking about two different things that are mixed, kind of like these Skittles. And so I want you to listen closely to the story and pay attention to what's mixed. And when you hear it, give your parents a thumbs up like that.
that's what she was talking about. Give me a thumbs up if you know your assignment. Awesome. All right, so as you go, I would like each of you to have two bags of Skittles, one for you and one to share with someone else, okay? And so I am going to have Miss Emma go to this side and hand some out. If you kind of sat on that side, and on this side, I'm going to give them to Anna. And Anna, you can go over by Mr. Grant and hand them out over there, okay? Let's give these kids a hand for the great job they did and having courage to come up. So fun. I don't know if you guys saw what we were worshiping. A little girl came and brought Emma a card. It's just so sweet. So I also noticed something. I actually gave candy away last time I preached. So you guys might be thinking, she's really got a sweet tooth, which wouldn't be a lie. All right, great job, kids. Listen closely to the story now and hear what's mixed. All right, we're going to get started. I'm really excited to just continue the series that we're in today called The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. And if you weren't with us 2 weeks ago, I want to give you just a 30-second recap. I know it took me 30 minutes 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to give it to you in 30 today. 30-second recap, because when Jesus was referring to the kingdom of heaven, he wasn't referring to a location. He was referring to an activity. And that activity is both now in part and later in its fullness. It's an activity of the rule and the reign of God's will brought through his people, people partnering with him. This is really important because when Jesus told parables, he was giving a word picture of what the kingdom of heaven should look like. In other words, it didn't always look like that. It was mixed. And I can feel that. And I think you can probably feel that too in today's world, right? Especially when we ask ourselves questions like, if God is so good, why is there such evil in the world? If God is so good, why do such bad things happen to such good people? It's not fair. Why does a married couple who's been trying to have a baby, month after month and year after year, keep seeing negative on the test strip? And at the same time, 80% of teenagers have unintended pregnancies. It feels not fair. Why is it that a 5-year-old little boy who is innocent and has a heart of gold loses his life to brain cancer? Why does human trafficking exist? This modern day slavery, it's the second largest criminal activity in the world. According to the International Labor Organization, a $150 billion industry. If these things have your blood pressure up a little bit, good. Me too. It means that we're discontent with evil and brokenness in this world. We want it to end. We don't want to live in this mixed world of good and evil, and yet here we are. And so today we're going to be in Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. And it's my hope today that you leave with hope. And you also leave with a clear and powerful and potentially life-changing job description. So let's dive in to the text and see what God has for us today. Matthew 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No,"
he answered. Because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then, gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Jesus goes on to tell another parable starting at verse 47 that's similar, only it's with a fisherman. A fisherman goes out to this lake and he throws out this big net and he catches a mixture of fish and he brings it back in the boat, pulls it back up to shore, and he sorts out the good fish from the bad fish. So it will be at the end of the age, Jesus says. So what in the world is going on here? And why is Jesus telling a story about fish and wheat? I want to invite you into my house for a minute. It was about 14 years ago that I was cleaning my house. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. I had windows open. Every single window was open. You know, just one of those lovely days. Kids were playing outside. And all of a sudden, I heard the most blood-curdling cry. And parents, you know the type, right? It's not the I'm whiny, tired cry, or the I'm scared cry, or I didn't get my way cry. It was the there's most definitely blood cry. And so what happened was Dennis was outside as well. My girls, who were about 9 and 13 at the time, had been riding their go-kart. And Courtney was waiting in the grass. Chelsea and her friend were riding the go-kart. And her friend, who hadn't ridden before, wanted to turn to drive. And so they took off down the cul-de-sac and failed to slow down at the turn and turned full speed, flipping the go-kart over and pinning Chelsea's face and shoulder under the roll bar. Hence the blood-curdling cry. And so all of a sudden, I see from the front door, Denny's around the corner of the house, and he's just in time to see Courtney, our 9-year-old, literally lift up the go-kart and set it right side up, which we still believe was God's strength for sure that day. We joke for weeks that she had these superwoman powers. But thankfully, Denny got to the scene quickly, and her friend was fine. She was okay. Chelsea, on the other hand, was not. It was the opposite. So Denny scooped her up and brought her into the house and set her on the kitchen counter next to the sink. She is still, rightfully so, crying and screaming hysterically, "This hurts! Don't hurt me! This hurts so bad!" Had you been a community member walking by our house that day, who knows what you would have thought, right? But had you come in my house, you would have seen her sitting at the kitchen sink, and you would have seen me having an ice pack on her already swollen shut eye, bruises all over her face. Jenny is running cold water and trying to wash the gravel and road rash out. We're assessing the situation to see, do we need to call the ambulance or do we have time to take her in? How bad is this? Here's a picture of Chelsea's poor little face that night. Couple days later, I share this with her permission, don't worry. here's a picture of her with her sling a couple nights later. She ended up having shoulder surgery. Everything's good now. Kids, do you see that little black thing behind her shoulder there? We used to hang our phones on the wall. They were huge, too. Right? Now, in case you're curious, that's so weird, right? In case you're curious, she turned out great. Here's a picture of her now. She's got a great guy who's here with us today, too. They're getting married the end of August, and her shoulder's great. You can see her face is beautiful. Everything's okay. I share this with you because when we read Scripture, it's important for us to take things in context. Jesus is being intentional to share illustrations that mean something to his listeners in this day. They were fishermen. They were farmers. And wheat was a popular crop then. It was a stable crop. It was something that they planted and ate often, and they even used it as grain offerings. And Jesus says something interesting in this parable. Go to verse 25 with me. He says, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Well, come into the house for a minute and see what's happening. Someone is sowing bad wheat, false wheat is what they called it, into their fields. You know, according to ancient legal sources, this was actually a problem in that day, occasionally. There would be rival feuding farmers that would go do this. These listeners were not walking along the sidewalk. They were in the house. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about here when he talked about wheat and weeds. So let's talk about these weeds for a minute. This false wheat, as it's known, it's most likely that it was called Lolium temulentum. For the sake of your ears and my tongue this morning, there's another name. It's darnels, and we're going to go with darnels. Darnels in plural. All right? And here's the thing with the darnels. They're tricky because they look so much alike. It's really hard to tell what's good and what's bad. It's kind of like these two flowers here. Commonly mistaken, but completely different plants. One you can eat, and the other is poisonous. Raise your hand if you think the one that's poisonous is on the left. Any guesses? Okay. Raise your hand if you think the poisonous one is on the right. All right. It is the one on the right. It's called a deadly nightshade. In comparison to the black nightshade. One more example. These bees, they look a lot alike. Now, assuming that you're not allergic to bees and already have a major issue because they're all dangerous for you, one of these is extremely dangerous. It is known to chase their victim like a quarter of a mile. They're super aggressive. Raise your hand if you think the dangerous one is on the left. Raise your hand if you think it's on the right. Ooh, left or right. Let's see. It's the one on the right. It's the African killer bee. So let's take a look at wheat for a minute here. Wheat. One of these is wheat, and one of these is darnel, the false wheat. Which one do you think is wheat? Raise your hand if you think it's the right one. They look a lot alike. It's hard to tell. The left? All right. The wheat is on the left, and darnels are on the right. Wrong. Don't worry, there wasn't a prize anyway. All right, here's another thing about wheat. I want to show you a picture of a wheat field because here's a wheat field. Do you see any paths in there? There's no paths. It's not like our gardens nowadays that we can rototill and have a path to safely walk through and even pull out some weeds. Not only is that a problem, but darnels are really tricky because what they do is their roots get entwined with the roots of the wheat. And it's really hard to pull up one without wrecking the other. It's kind of like me coming over to our flower bed here and pulling out this weed, oh my gosh, and getting both, right? I'm wrecking the good as I'm pulling out the weed. So now that we have good context, we're in the house, we understand what we're talking about, let's go back to the text because there are two really great questions the servants ask. And the first one is, where did the weeds come from? Where did they come from? If not you, then who? Who did it? You know, sometimes when bad things happen to us, we're maybe first to go like, was it me? Was it my fault? Was it something that I did? Am I responsible? And if not me, then who? Is it my friend or my coworker or my brother or my sister? Where did the weeds come from? And there's good and bad here. It's mixed and we want it fixed. It's mixed and we want it fixed. A family is on a summer vacation. How many of you have taken summer family trips already? Nice, many of you. And you're on your last, like, 1 hour leg of the journey, okay? And all of a sudden, the kids are fighting like cats and dogs. Even though they have their own iPads and their own personal snack packs, it's mixed. And we want it fixed. An adult son has a mother who was diagnosed with cancer 3 months ago. And she's had chemo and she has lost her hair and she's struggling with her strength. She's fighting for her life. It's mixed. And we want it fixed. A grandpa has adult children now, and they have kids of their own, and one of them has chosen to walk away from the faith. They no longer follow Jesus. It's mixed, and we want it fixed. One thing is for certain in this story, and that is that the servants notice the weeds. They are not content with them being there. It's not fair. Someone's to blame. It's going to have an impact on the crop. And so, consequently, they ask, I think, a really great, logical second question. They ask this: do you want us to go yank them out? I'm paraphrasing a little. But do you want us to go yank them out? Do you want us to separate the good from the bad? You know, like, disband the problem. I kind of like these guys because they want to take action. They want to do something to fix the problem. Do you want us to go yank them out? And look what Jesus says. The owner in the story says, no. Verse 29, while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. In other words, it's not your job. And you could actually cause more damage. Look to someone next to you and say, sorry, you didn't get the job. Right? You know, we don't have to look too long or too hard to think of times that we have personally, or we as a church, have, with best intentions, disbanded. We've taken sides. We've taken positions. We've forced other people into sides or positions. We've pointed fingers. We've judged people. And in doing so, we've caused damage to the field. We've caused damage to the kingdom. And I think a really good question for us to ask ourselves when we're facing challenges like this of good and evil, and when things are mixed, how do we help when we notice something? Is to ask ourselves this question: am I expanding or am I disbanding the kingdom? Am I expanding? Am I growing? Am I building? Am I broadening the kingdom? Or am I disbanding? Am I sorting and separating and dividing? Am I expanding or disbanding the kingdom? Please hear me on this. This is not me casting judgment or casting any shame. I personally am convicted of times, especially in the last 2 years, that I've done the work of disbanding. I've said things I wish I hadn't said and done things I wish I hadn't done. And I've, instead of letting my later drive my now and partnering with God to bring words and actions that bring life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the what? The life. How do we bring life into the kingdom? Well, it looks a lot like Jesus, right? What did Jesus do? It's speaking the truth in love. And sometimes it's not speaking at all. Let us not forget that Jesus was stone cold silent in front of his accusers at his trial. Sometimes it looks like having the humility to listen, to understand. Sometimes it's loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. We live in a mixed world, and I've wrestled with this question, and I'm sure you probably have too. If God is so good, then why this and why that? And we have to remember that our loving Heavenly Father was, is, and always will be God and good. This is not how he intended the world to be. It's not how he created it to be. Let's go to Genesis 1 and see for ourselves. In verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the what? Say it with me. Earth. It does not say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and hell. No. We ushered that in with our own discontentment and our own distrust. The kingdom of heaven is now in part and later in its fullness when Christ returns, and so is the opposite. We feel it every day, don't we? And sometimes we even usher it in. And yet, God in his goodness takes those weeds and he came and became fully man while being fully human, taking on fully man and being fully God, taking on our weeds and our sin all the way to the cross. His love is so strong and so eternal. You know, there are things that are so horrible. We know that they're weeds. We know it. There's no question. There's no question human trafficking is evil. And yet Jesus warns us here, be careful. Don't disband. We can ask ourselves a question, am I expanding or am I disbanding the kingdom? What can we do in a situation that we know is evil? Well, we can expand the kingdom by partnering with organizations that bring rescue and relief and recovery and dignity. But then there's those tricky weeds, right? Those ones that are really hard to tell apart. Even the best farmers had a hard time telling the difference between wheat and these weeds until really close to the harvest time. And so what do we do with that? These tricky weeds, when we think we know, as if we have such a wisdom, here's the thing. Jesus warns us, be careful, because you could actually cause more damage. Because here's the thing. Jesus sees the roots. He sees the heart. Truth is, we may be content with human trafficking coming to an end. That'd be great, right? Jesus won't be content until lust comes to an end. We might be content to see racially motivated violence come to an end, but Jesus won't be content until pride and contempt and rage come to an end. Are you with me? He's perfect, which means he's the perfect judge. And one day he will return as he promises, and he will judge sin. He will sort out the good and the bad. What's important for us to remember in these moments is to ask ourselves the question and make the right decision, receive his grace when we make the wrong call, but how am I going to expand the kingdom? Am I expanding or am I disbanding? I want to share a quote with you from Father Richard Rohr. He says it this way: the deceiver is going to sow. So we are to be discerning, to be able to distinguish between the good and deception. It's not our job to cut or burn. The best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. Now, Jesus didn't say, they will know they're my disciples by their convictions, right? He said, they're going to know that you're my disciples by your what? Your love. Your love. As a matter of fact, Paul in Romans 12 has a whole section on this, and I want to take us there today and look at a section that's titled Love in Action, so we can really let this take root in us. Let these words just kind of fall over you. Soften your heart, correct your posture if you need to, and just listen to these words that describe what it looks like to practice the better, to expand versus disband. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is good, to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. Don't disband. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil by expanding. Jesus goes on in these following verses, verse 36, where he explains this parable. What does all of this mean? And so I'm going to actually give you another piece of this in an even deeper summary. Here's what Jesus summarizes this parable to mean. The sower is Jesus. The field is the world. Good seeds are the believers. The weeds are the non-believers. Enemy who sows is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. And so, did you catch who the enemy is here? It's not the sower, it's not the field, or the good seeds, or the weeds. It's the devil. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 6, verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and the powers and the authorities of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our enemy is not people. Jesus' enemy wasn't people either. When you think about the Pharisees weren't Jesus' enemy. The Romans weren't even Jesus' enemy. Jesus died for them too. It's the devil. That's our real enemy. And it is God's will for all of his creation, male and female, created in his image, to come to a saving knowledge of him, it says in 1 Timothy. So I want to just walk us through the four steps. There's four movements that I see in this text that kind of give us a bit of a roadmap through this story, but I think we can use it in our own lives too. And the first is this, to notice. The servants notice, right, that something is not right. And they want to do something about it. That means that they're engaged, they're observant. This is not a passive sport. They notice. We can notice too. And the second thing they do is they ask, where did this come from? They want to get to the root, the heart of the problem. Where did this come from? Remember who our enemy is. We can ask, where did this come from, too? And then they ask, how can we help? They want to drive their efforts towards good and expanding the kingdom. And so we can use this question, am I expanding or am I disbanding the kingdom? We can ask, how can we help? And the fourth movement that I see is trust. They trust the owner. They trust him. They trust that he is faithful and good, and they trust that he will one day return and disband the evil from the good. I want to invite you into my house again for just a minute, because what I didn't share with you when I shared that story was how Dennis and I were feeling. We hurt when people we love hurt, right? We hurt when our kids hurt. And we felt so bad for her. I could have cried myself. Like, she was just in so much pain. Sitting here on the counter, she was in pain. She was hurting and broken. And we would have done anything to help her, even take her place. And friends, we have a loving Heavenly Father who sees our brokenness and sees our pain, and he did come take our place all the way to the cross, so that one day there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Amen? And until that day, what we usher in and how we usher it in, it matters. It matters a lot. So I'm going to hold on to this question for myself personally, and I want to encourage you to do the same. Am I expanding or am I disbanding the kingdom? And remember the words of hope that Jesus gives us, that in this world, in this mixed up world, we will have trouble, Jesus said. But take heart. I've overcome the world. Would you pray with me? Oh, God, we're so grateful for your love, your mercy, your unwavering commitment to us, your creation, that you would come and become sin for us so that one day we could live in eternity with you. And while that's important, God, we know we have a job description now, and that's to partner with you to expand your kingdom. And so we pray by your power and your grace that you would help us to do just that. And in times when we are completely overwhelmed by this world and are really uncertain how to pray, God, would you bring to our minds and our hearts the prayer that you taught your disciples? Would you pray this with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.